Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
Outdoors Radio is also brought to you by Lincoln Contractor Supply and Fabic Rents, the Cat Rental Store, working together to offer you more American Natural Premium pet foods, premium nutrition without the premium price, AmericanNaturalPremium.com, by Huntworth Gear, high-tech camo wear at a price you can afford, HuntworthGear.com, and by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, reminding you to mentor a new hunter this season and think safety whenever you're hunting. Hunt safe, Wisconsin. DNR.WI.gov. Check out the keyword, hunt. Time now for the Madison Outdoor Report, brought to you by Pappas Trading Post, Wisconsin's leading Matthews and Mission retailer, located just west of Reno on Highway 14 and online at PappasTradingPost.com, and by Fisher King Winery, makers of finely crafted Wisconsin wines in Verona and online at FisherKingWinery.com. This special feature heard every week at this time exclusively on WTSO, the Big 1070 and 100.9 FM, streamed on demand on LakeLink and on our podcast on iTunes. Joining us from the Trading Post is J.C. Chamberlain. J.C., thanks for hanging out with us again.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having us back.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, archery season underway in Wisconsin. I perused the social media over the weekend. I was not in a stand. I had a friend of mine in a stand. He didn't see anything, but it seems like there were some deer that were taken in the state.
Oh, yeah, and we had quite a few customers get out. I myself didn't make it. In fact, right now I'm on my way to go on an elk hunt in Wyoming with my father and brother. But, you know, overall, the reports were pretty good. I mean, guys were seeing deer. We know of at least some doe that were shot and, you know, some bucks that were seen but stayed just out of range. So, good so far.
You know, and it's always kind of tough. I kind of go back and forth whether or not I really want to get out, especially if I haven't had the chance to do a lot of homework. It's kind of tough to get that, you know, buck of your dreams unless you have them patterned. And I think, you know, we've talked about it over the course of the last number of years, is summer patterns, pretty easy to pattern him. If you can figure out where he's going to feed every night, it's usually pretty basic, and you have a chance of getting on him. But if you didn't do that homework, it's really tough to just kind of guess at this time of year.
Yeah, I mean, definitely there's always those spots, I mean, that you can kind of take a wild shot at it, you know, the apple trees or, you know, certain beans or something if they're green, alfalfa. But like I said, for the most part, it is pretty tough unless you've been able to get out and really pattern anything.
And but it's not a bad time to tag a doe, get some of your antlerless hunting out of the way, maybe just, you know, scratch that itch, I suppose, letting an arrow go. A lot of times it's just good to finally get back outside and sit in silence and just disappear for a while.
Yeah, that's definitely something that, you know, we wait for all year. And, you know, in my opinion anyway, too many guys don't take advantage of it and spread it out a little bit more. You know, everybody's like, oh, you know, I'm going to wait for the rut. I'm going to wait. It's like, you know, there's just as many deer out there now. It just, you know, they might not be as callable. Some situations they are, but you never know when you're going to luck out too, and that big buck is going to walk by, or, you know, like you said, go out and take a few doe and fill the freezer first and take the pressure off later.
Yeah, I think the one thing that you could, you know, that is really kind of a neat aspect of opening weekend, and this is a relatively early opening weekend based on our calendar, is a chance at a buck in velvet. I saw a few of those, and it kind of seems like just about anybody will lower their standards if the buck is in velvet, you know, because it's not an everyday opportunity that you get a chance to see that.
Yeah, typically around here, it's, you know, few and far between opening weekend, just usually with that, you know, mid to late month start. And we did talk to a couple guys that actually saw a few in velvet. They were all little guys. But, you know, a lot of the bigger deer that I talked to guys about that they had on camera and stuff actually were, you know, we're shedding back in end of August. So, yeah, it's a pretty neat thing to have that opportunity to shoot one in velvet, especially if you don't have the chance to travel somewhere else where you can.
For sure. And so you're headed out west, actually, for an elk hunt. And will this be a bow elk hunt, I assume?
Yes, it will. We're going to go out. We get two bull tags and a cow tag. So we're going to go out and see what kind of trouble we can get into.
Very good. Is it a Colorado or a Wyoming hunt?
We're headed to Wyoming.
Wyoming hunt, and I'm sure that'll be fun. You'll have a chance to kind of kick back and probably get on some social media yourself and see what the rest of the state of Wisconsin's doing while you're gone. But it is a good time for folks to still come in and get upgraded equipment or get something looked at. You know, obviously, there's going to be guys that just pulled their bow out this last weekend or just this last week, or they're going to do it this week. And you guys still have the availability to be able to, you know, help them out, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's never too late. So we've always got somebody around to help work on things. And, you know, whether it's something that you've had out and, you know, something went wrong and you broke it, or, you know, like you said, just getting it out, you know, it's still not a bad time to get it in and get things checked over and make sure that when it is time for you to hunt, it's ready to go.
And you guys have a full shop of not only just working on the bow, but any kind of accessories, tree stand stuff, harnesses, broadheads. I mean, you've run the whole gamut. Somebody needs something, you guys can help them.
For the most part, there's probably not a whole lot of stuff that we don't have. But, you know, like you said, everywhere from tree stands, whether it be hang-on ladders, box blinds, ground blinds, arrows, broadheads, you name it.
And a place to shoot. I mean, you don't leave them hanging there. You guys have a chance that you can shoot an indoor range, so you get a few days where maybe you don't feel like sitting in the 80-degree heat and you just want to go shoot yet and keep that muscle memory up. You guys have that chance to do that, too.
Oh, absolutely. Out to 40 yards, and it's all air-conditioned and no wind and no bugs.
That's awesome. The no bugs thing right now. That's probably one of the number one things that drives me out right now is bugs and the fact that you've either got to take that deer to a processor, which I typically process my own, and if that's the case, I got to do it like that night. Like I got to get it at least quartered in a cooler at the very least.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's early season like this when it is this warm. I mean, a lot of people struggle with that. You know, for me, I would be, you know, feel comfortable leaving it hang overnight as long as I got the hide off quick and got it cooled down, you know, through, got some ice in the chest cavity, you know, something like that. I think it'd be all right as long as it wasn't, you know, obviously too hot. But if you can get it cooled down, it'll definitely even keep overnight without too much trouble.
You guys got any specials or anything you're doing as the season kicks off here at the shop?
Right now, I think things are kind of just running as normal. Not too much going on that way. You know, we still got some deals on a few triacs that we have left from Matthews. Other than that, I would say that's probably about it right now.
And store hours now that we're into the season?
We're still open 7 days a week, so Monday through Friday, 10 to 8, Saturday, 9 to 5, and Sunday, 9 to 2.
Well, JC, I'm going to wish you the very best of luck out in Wyoming, and I hope you guys are you one with a bull tag, or do you got to watch the others this time around?
No, I do have a bull tag again this year, so I was fortunate enough to get one of those thanks to my dad.
Very good, very good. Well, best of luck out there. Stay safe on the road and out on the hillsides, and we look forward to hearing about that. And perhaps Dan or I will have something in the freezer we can talk about the next time we have you on the show.
Oh, I hope we have some stories for each other to tell.
All right, buddy. J.C. Chamberlain joining us from Pappas Trading Post. He's the Madison Outdoor Report brought to you by Pappas, Wisconsin's leading Matthews and Mission retailer, located just west of Arena on Highway 14 and online at pappastradingpost.com. We're also brought to you by Fisher King Winery, makers of finely crafted Wisconsin wines in Verona and online at fisherkingwinery.com. And what you've been listening to, this special feature, it's heard every week at this time, exclusively right here on WTSO, the Big Ten 70 and 100.9 FM, streamed on demand on LakeLink and on our podcast on iTunes. Coming up in just a little bit, more Outdoors Radio.
Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit pappastradingpost.com.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. Huntworthgear.com. That's Huntworthgear.com.
Well, Dan, once again, joining us by phone, a traveling man in the last couple of weeks here. Dan, you're at the Association of Great Lakes Outdoor Writers Conference this week.
That's right, and it's in La Crosse, so it wasn't too long a drive for me. And it's a great conference, as you know, and perhaps some of our listeners know. This is the annual conference that we get together somewhere in the greater Great Lakes region, anywhere from New York State to west of Minnesota, sometimes into the Dakotas, actually. Last year we were in Bismarck, I think. And it's a chance to network with people who are in the outdoors industry and also meet some potential sponsors and tour and do a little fishing in the area. So I may get a chance to get out with Ted Peck, who is a legendary guide on the Mississippi River, and in fact, he's being inducted into the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, I think, very soon. So it'll be cool to get out with him. I had a chance to visit with him today. But that's what I'm doing this weekend. I am hoping that we have won some awards. I haven't heard yet, but I will know by the time you and I talk next week, hopefully in studio, both of us. maybe we'll have some awards to report on, but that's what I've been up to.
Awesome. Yeah, it is. It's fun to peruse the social media stuff right now. I got a lot of friends, obviously, that are part of AGLOW, as it's known, Association of Great Lakes Outdoor mm-hmm. Writers. And I know you're looking at fishing. There's a few folks that are out there actually hunting. They got a couple of places that tags were available, and they've got folks actually hunting out there, so it'll be kind of interesting just to see what all comes out of that. I think there's some great experiences for the outdoor media.
Yeah, absolutely. And last week I was actually up in I put 1,000 miles on my truck last week. I'm thinking of you a little bit because you do that routinely, I guess. I started out in West Bend sighting in rifles with two young disabled boys. One had cancer and lost a leg to surgery, to amputation. The other one is a quadriplegic. They're from Pennsylvania and Ohio. And they sighted in their rifles at the West Bend Union Sportsman's Club. And then we all caravaned up to Florence, Wisconsin, with the folks from Hunt of a Lifetime. And we've talked to Tim Yan before about their program. It's a great program that takes youngsters young men, young women under the age of 21 who have life-threatening injuries or illnesses or, some disability that makes it difficult for them to get outdoors. And this was a bear hunt. And I'll cut to the chase that it took 3 days, but each of these young fellows killed a bear, and we actually have video of one of the kills on camera. I haven't seen it yet, but we had a trail camera with the bait on the second bear that was taken, and that was probably a year and a half, 2-year-old bear. The other fellow, the gentleman with the amputated leg, shot a real bruiser. That bear dressed at 300 and probably weighed live weight about 360 pounds. So,
wow.
And that whole event and that adventure will be featured on Outdoor Wisconsin coming up this next season. So some really exciting stuff we're doing for Outdoor Wisconsin.
Very cool. Very cool. I kind of just laid low. I finished up the deer blind I was working on. Got all the little creature comfort stuff kind of put together in it, and helped another buddy kind of get set up at my parents' place. He's going to hunt there this year and stick some time into some bow hunting, and had a sit opening night and didn't see anything there. He went to a piece of public land near his house the next night and did see some movement, but just didn't get a shot. So I've been kind of living vicariously through some of the other folks around me. Saw a lot of deer killed over the course of the first weekend. So exciting, exciting stuff. Now that we're kind of past some of the warmer weather, I'll maybe even venture out myself here soon.
Yeah, well, good. Good luck. I won't have a chance to do any bow hunting anytime soon. I did a little fishing this past week, actually up in the Florence area. I bought a one-day Michigan license, went up the Brule River, the border Brule, and fished the Paint River with a guide, Clint Burns, from the Florence area. He actually lives in Green Bay, but he's from that area. And we caught some pike and bass on fly rod, so I had a good time, and I got a couple segments for Outdoor Wisconsin. So it was a working trip, as this one is, and I'm looking forward to getting back home and joining you in the studio next week.
I'm sure the honeydew list has grown, and you got plenty of ranch work to do as well. But we'll welcome you back next week.
Yeah. Right, absolutely. We'll talk to you soon, Jeff. Thanks.
Sounds great. As Dan drops off, we keep going. This week's show, DNR Angler, R3 coordinator Teresa Stabo invites listeners to become fishing mentors. Sounds fun. Jeremiah Alexander offers advice for choosing a hunting scope for Wisconsin whitetails. And Captain Dan Welsh gives us another report for Lake Michigan for trout and salmon off the Port of Sheboygan. It's all coming up next on Outdoors Radio.
Every year there are commercials reminding everyone to hunt safely. But the truth is, it's not up to everyone. It's up to you. Treat all firearms as if loaded. Always point the muzzle in a safe direction. Be certain of your target and what's beyond, and keep your finger outside the trigger guard until it's safe to shoot. Hunting safety is up to you. Don't just be aware of these safety measures, follow them. Safe hunting is no accident. Learn more from the Wisconsin DNR at dnr.wi.gov.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
If your rifle, shotgun, handgun, or muzzleloader needs work this season, call Roger Williams at Northern Magnetic LLC. A licensed professional gunsmith for over 35 years, Roger can repair, customize, rebarrel, install sights and scope mounts, and more on all firearms makes and models. When you need a professional gunsmith, call Roger at 262-339-1798 or visit fixguns.com. That's 262-339-1798 or fixguns.com.
Founded by law enforcement and military veterans, Right-On Optics of Tucson, Arizona offers top-quality scopes, binoculars, and rud dots at the industry's best prices. Tested by their Tier 1 military, Right-On's high-density glass and other components are covered by the best warranty in the business. At Right-On, we welcome feedback from customers to better our product line. Find a dealer or buy Right-On Hunting, Target, and Tactical Optics gear and accessories online at rightonoptics.com. Right-On. See the difference.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com. Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit PappasTradingPost.com.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio.
I'm Jeff Kelm. This report presented by Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters, Condos and Riverfront Store on South Pier Drive in Sheboygan. His website is DumperDan.com, and you can find him on Facebook at Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters. This segment is also brought to you by Anglers Avenue Pub, Grill, and Pro Shop, located just downriver from Dumpers. Find them on the web at anglersavenue.net. Joining us is Captain Dan Welsh. They call him Dumper. Dan, thank you very much.
You got her. Thank you, Jeff. Great to be on board with you again today.
Dude, man, I'm seeing the fishing light up as it typically does, and as, of course, you hope it does at this time of year out of the Port of Sheboygan.
Yeah, it's been great, Jeff. It's been a lot of fun. The fall fish came in as planned. Spawning is going on right now of salmon and trout, but mostly the king and coho salmon, and we're cashing in on them here fishing the harbor area the last couple weeks. And they come in different waves and different batches, from males to females to cohos, a couple of browns in between, brown trout. So it's been a lot of fun, Jeff, and it's been a few weeks of this. And people call us to reserve this time of year to do this kind of thing. And it's close to shore, it's easy to get to, and they're big fish.
Yeah, I think that's the big fish part is probably the part that would shock most people. I mean, we're talking these four-year-old kings. There's not a whole lot of them that you're going to find that are going to be less than, the upper teens at least? And then you've got a chance at some pushing 30 pounds.
Oh, exactly. I mean, just the last couple of days we had what we call a jack king. A jack king is kind of a stunted, smaller spawning salmon, king salmon, and we do have some of them jacks around that just don't grow in size, but they're a solid 10-pounders, and they're fun to catch, and they fight like crazy. We had a few of them. We've caught some cohos that are 10, 12 pounds, but then lately, too, we also had the kings are averaging, like you said, 16, 18, 20 pounds each, but we had a 28.5, a 29.5 come in, and today we had a 25-pounder come in. So you got a chance at a real wall-mounter this time of year, and they fight. Boy, do they fight. I mean, I was talking to one of my clients this morning when they came in at 10:30, 11 o'clock, and he goes, we circled that fish four times, and they traded the rod off three times with three different customers to land one of them at 29-pounder. So it's fun. It's a blast.
It is. I mean, people that you don't realize how much these fish pull, even if you've caught a 20-pound fish before, a big muskie or pike or something like that, when these kings grab a bait, I mean, they're gone. and they will not come in. They are going to give you a run. You are going to be tired.
Yeah, exactly. And I put their smaller walleye boat in the water, too, or Prince Craft, for doing a little trolling in the river, because legally now you can troll, you know, in the Sheboygan River, and there's guys doing it. You got to just keep in mind that you're only allowed one rod per person and three rod maximum, so you got to abide by the rules there. But the other day we landed a 25-pounder, and oh my God, we chased that fish all over the river, got under the boat, and we finally caught him in the nets. You know, it was like we're high-fiving each other, like we just, you know, did a miracle here of catching this fish, which it was. So it's a blast.
You hear about the guys, and you know, there's some kayak anglers, and of course the shore fishermen know that. I mean, it'll give you a run. The kayak anglers and any of you guys that head out in the smaller boats, I don't think they realize how much power these kings have. They'll literally pull the boat backwards. They'll slow your trolling motor down. They will fight.
Oh yeah, they will. And they run two, three times, and they run all over the place. So yeah, definitely a fish to target this time of year. And like I said earlier here, that some of our customers that come out in May, June, July during the summer, spring or summer months come back and do this again in the fall just for this reason alone, you know. And it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. Now, how are you catching these fish? Is it just planer boards out the side with spoons, or what's going on?
Well, we run a pretty simple spread, but it's something you got to kind of work on to get in the right spot at the right time, because you're constantly turning. Obviously, fishing the harbor, you're always on the move. You're trolling, you're turning, you're working areas. But what we do is we run downriggers with spoons, Magnum Pro Kings, glow in the dark spoons on the downriggers. And what we run is four slide divers. We'll run two slide divers aside with number three or number four silver hoard or J plugs, and they catch a lot of kings too. and coho. So we'll run plugs there. We'll run spoons on the downriggers. And then the treat is we run a couple of planer boards. Now, you can't put out a pile of planer boards in the harbor, but you can run a couple of them at least. And we put crankbaits on them. So we'll run Fast Track Rebels, or we'll run, which is old school bait, Fast Track Rebel, or we'll run a Dave's Kaboom, or we'll run a Thunderstick on there, or a Pala, something like that, a crankbait on the surface. So you're covering three different kinds of tackle, you know, fishing for these kings. So you get hit quite often on all sorts of different the styles of spoons and plugs and crankbaits when you're doing this in the fall season.
And I'll tell you that this is when your captains and your first mates earn their money, because it is a crazy show when things start to go in the harbor.
Absolutely. It's a workout. I mean, it is definitely a workout, because you got to adjust the rods up and down depending on the depth and depending on your turn, depending on the speed. And then when you get one on, then all heck breaks loose and you got to go chase that fish down and get him in the boat before he runs out of line or somebody cuts him off or runs him over. You never know.
Right. I was going to say, not to mention any boat traffic out there, because, you know, Lord knows there's nobody exactly out there this time. But
No, not at all.
Now, it is a fun time to fish, and you're going to have a bite like this for a little while yet, right?
Yeah, we will. I mean, it starts usually later August, and it'll go to early October. So the whole month of September is what the key on and target for this. And no matter if you're fishing, like you mentioned, Jeff, a kayak or off the pier or off the rocks on the beach or charter fishing or your own private boat, you know, you want to look at the whole month of September, but late August into mid-October, definitely a great time of year to come out. You know, watch the weather, watch the wind. It can get kind of breezy on some days, but if the weather looks good and you can get out, definitely go after them, because it's that time of year to catch a trophy fish for the wall.
And Angler's Avenue has got a way to be able to kind of outfit you with a few different things, as well as stop by for a meal and really just enjoy yourself down on that riverfront and that South Pier Drive area.
Absolutely. They're right around the corner from me, down the road from my place. You go by Dumper Dan's first, and then Angler's Avenue will be on your left, just down the curve by us. And there's a lot of guys fishing there too, Jeff. They're fishing right off the wall at Angler's Avenue. So you could be sitting outside having a dinner at Angler's Avenue and see fishermen catching fish right as you're dining at Angler's Avenue. And go next door to Russell. He does sell tackle, obviously, for the pier, spawn sacks, if you want to pull some spawn, or put a spawn on egg sinker on the bottom for a salmon. And if you don't have a rod and reel, he has them too. You can rent a rod and reel for a couple hours, get a fishing license, and go catch one.
That's the way to do it, man. Do you have openings for the remainder of September and October?
I do. Actually, I do. We have a little window here of opportunity. So if guys want to get out yet late September, early October, I got a little bit left. We are pulling out about the middle of October. Docks come out, our boats come out, and we start prepping for next year. So I would get something in ASAP. Calls are still coming in, and guys are still booking dates. And give me a call at 920-377-1147. Check us out at dumperdan.com on the internet. Otherwise, Facebook always, Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters on Facebook with pictures and videos.
All right, man. Well, hey, I will let you get back at it. We'll talk to you a couple more times before the end of the season, and have fun.
You got it. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Take care.
You bet. Captain Dan Welch joining us from Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters, Condo's Riverfront Store in Sheboygan on South Pier Drive. His website is dumperdan.com. You can find him on Facebook as well at Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters. This segment also brought to you by Angler's Avenue Pub Grill and Pro Shop, located on just down the river from Dumpers, and find them on the web at anglersavenue.net. More Outdoors Radio on the way next.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us again on Outdoors Radio. I'm Jeff Kelm. Our show is brought to you in part by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Angler Education Program, dnr.wi.gov. Keywords, fishing for dinner. My favorite, absolutely. Joining us is DNR Angler R3 Coordinator, Teresa Stabo. And Teresa, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks. I'm really excited to talk to you about angler education and angler R3.
Yeah. So I'm going to imagine, because I have heard of R3, but like in passing, that the majority of the folks listening right now are like, what is R3? So we're going to start there.
Yeah, that's a good place to start. So R3, in our case, it refers to recruitment, retention and reactivation, and this would be of anglers, hunters, and trappers. We know that those numbers have been dropping in recent years for a variety of reasons. People are just removed from the land. They've been a kind of a stop. You know, we've had some gaps in passing along these traditions and keeping people going. There are a lot of distractions in our modern world. So we want to get people back in the groove here. Get them back out to the woods, back out on the water, and help them learn how to enjoy these resources that we have.
Now, why would the DNR be putting this effort into this? Why are they so concerned with it?
Well, our concern is really twofold. You know, one is financial. Our agency is funded in large part by license sales, and that translates to federal dollars as well. Our Sportfish Restoration dollars and Pittman-Robertson dollars, those are federal funds that are derived from the sale of gear, both for fishing and for hunting. And that pot of money is apportioned out among the states based on the number of licenses sold and some other criteria. But that's a big one. And so when our license sales drop, we don't have those kinds of resources that we need to manage the resource for everybody. And the other part is philosophical, really. We want to cultivate more partners in stewardship. You know, you protect what you love. So we want to spark a love affair with our resources with all people in Wisconsin.
And, you know, we've heard for a while that angler numbers are dropping. We've also talked to folks, Keith Warnke and stuff, with hunting hunting numbers as well. And it seems as if it's an uphill battle, kind of and every year we're looking at the numbers and they're not going up. You know, why is this happening?
Well, primarily, we think it's competition for people's time. There are, as I mentioned, there are a lot of distractions. People, you know, 30 years ago it was the television. You know, we used to refer to the boob tube. If people would just get away from the boob tube. Well,
sure.
Now that boob tube, you know, fits in the palm of your hand and goes everywhere
yeah,
with
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
So it's still that kind of distraction. People just, for a variety of reasons, they were not taught those traditional outdoor skills. So there's been a gap in passing along those skills. But we are seeing that people do have a keen interest in understanding the resources, our natural resources. They want to have a hand in obtaining their own local food. So that's kind of the encouraging part of the picture. We think there are people out there who have a really strong interest in sustainable lifestyles. They want to live lightly on the land. They want to take an active role in putting meat on the table, whether that's fish or fowl or flesh, you know, any kind of a animal protein. They want to do the dirty work, if you think of it that way. And
sure,
not, you know, that's just what we are hoping to help them do. And it's not really dirty work. It's taking an active role in obtaining your meat.
And I know for a period of time, and I think there is still a movement where folks want to eat local. They're looking at sustainability. Of course, there's plenty of folks that want to find a way to just depend less about being on the grid and things of that nature. So there is a small movement towards some of this. I mean, so where are they coming from, and are we reaching them, or are they kind of just reaching us and they're just on the edge? Where is that movement?
It's kind of going both ways. You know, we put ourselves in places where we're going to meet them. So we've been to things like Canucopia, you know, the paddling sport show, and the Midwest in Renewable Energy Fair, where people who really do want to live closer to the land, they show up at events like that, and we're there to meet them and introduce them to our programs and let them know that, you know, that we're here to help them get started or or get reactivated. Maybe they learned these skills as a youngster, but they've sort of forgotten some of them. It's been a while. So another place we go are to universities. We go to community centers. We are really trying to reach out to women and people from communities of color. So urban community centers are good places, and we are working more to make those connections.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm in my mid-30s. I've got a lot of friends that, it's a mixed batch. I've got a lot of friends that grew up enjoying the outdoors, especially fishing. I grew up along the shores of Lake Michigan, and they've fallen away from it for whatever reason. And there's a few that show interest in, if you can show me a successful time, I'd love to try it out again. Perhaps they were, for a variety of reasons, they kind of just fell out of love with it. And it was the same thing for a lot of hunting and things like that, too. How do you convince that 30-something, that upper 20-something who maybe did it as a kid, how do you convince them to come back?
We want them to kind of, let me start again. How do we convince them to come back? Well, we let them know that the resource is still there and it's still waiting for them. And there are opportunities. We try to set up our classes where they will have some success, just to kind of whet that appetite again to go out there and do it themselves.
And now, as far as the R3 and the focus and all that, how did that kind of come about? How did the R3 thought process come?
Well, I can't say exactly how the thought process came about, but it's something that's been brewing for a long time. We saw these numbers slipping, starting to decline, and we knew that we needed to do something about this. We need to get people on a path where they can have repeated experiences, not just the one-shot deal, not the one-and-done clinic. Those are great, for threshold experiences to kind of get people interested, but we knew that we needed to have follow-up. So awareness, those threshold experiences that generate some awareness, that's a good start, but we need to go beyond that. So, for example, we have free fishing weekend, and that's a nice threshold experience, but really, after that one day, we want people to have other opportunities to really learn those skills. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're starting these classes again, like we had in the past, where we're training the trainers so that somebody who lives in the community will have more than just a casual contact with them. They're part of the community, and they can help establish some ongoing opportunities for people to really practice their skills and kind of move along this path from just learning how to catch maybe panfish to going on to game fish. Then maybe they want to try hunting, just to try to get them on this path of really being connected to the resource and being active and regular participants.
And so you've got instructors that you guys are going to be training. You're going to have some workshops. And I guess before we talk about the upcoming workshops and where they're going to be and things, but, I mean, who can do this? How does someone become an instructor, and who can kind of decide that they want to do this?
People who would be an instructor for the angling program, we don't necessarily need someone who has expert fishing skills. I mean, that's certainly a plus, but we also need coordinators, people who are good at organizing classes, and then they can recruit instructors, people who do know how to fish or can quickly learn. So, I'm sorry, can I say that question again?
Yes, so we're just talking about the instructors and how, how can someone become an instructor? And
yes, so to become an instructor, you would contact us and find out when we're having a training workshop, and you can attend that training workshop. If there's critical mass in that person's community, if we don't really have something planned, but they think that we can gather 8 to 10 to 15 people to come to a training workshop to become an instructor, then we can schedule one in their community too.
And then, so now you've got a couple of these workshops for the instructors coming up in October and November.
Right. Yes, we have one. Camp Timberley in East Troy is hosting one for us. So I'll be there instructing, getting people trained to become instructors. And then again at November 2nd at Camp Upham Woods near the Dells. And we are in conversation with other organizations in Milwaukee and in Spooner and in the Fox Valley just to see what we can pull together for later, early winter or spring. So we have a website, and people should be checking that just to watch for the upcoming workshops that we will have scheduled.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to join us, and I hope folks understand how important this is. And, I've got young children, and I want to continue to introduce them, but I see a lot of their friends as they grow older. They don't have the same experiences as my children do, and I love the idea of, becoming a mentor in a lot of this and being able to have these opportunities for folks to align themselves with a trained individual and then that trained individual has the resources to be able to continue to showcase what's available to these folks that want to not only fish but also get into the hunting world and stuff. And I think you guys are on the right path. That's great.
Oh yeah, well thank you so much. We really are hoping that people will join us in becoming instructors or mentors in R3 for fishing or for hunting. Be great.
Well, Teresa, I appreciate you taking the time to join us.
All right. Thank you so much.
The DNR Angler R3 Coordinator, Teresa Stabo, joining me on Outdoors Radio. Our show is brought to you in part by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Angler Education Program, dnr.wi.gov. Check out the keywords, fishing for dinner. More Outdoors Radio on the way after this.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth Gear is what you're looking for. HuntworthGear.com. That's HuntworthGear.com.
Castle Rock and Pete and Well are two of Wisconsin's largest inland lakes. With more than 60 square miles of water, they offer four seasons of outdoor fun. Halfway between the Twin Cities and Chicago, and just minutes from Wisconsin Rapids and the Dells, you'll enjoy family-friendly resorts and campgrounds, great fishing, bike trails, county, state, and national parks, and the Nisida National Wildlife Refuge. Learn more at CastleRock-PeteandWell.com or on Facebook at Castle Rock Pete and Well Lakes Association.
Dogs of all ages love American Natural Premium. Years of success and experience have proven that proper nutrition makes dogs happy and healthy. American Natural Premium's carefully chosen ingredients provide energy, endurance, and performance along with healthy skin and coat. Just remember this, the name says it all, American Natural Premium. Find a dealer near you at AmericanNaturalPremium.com. That's AmericanNaturalPremium.com.
Every year there are commercials reminding everyone to hunt safely. But the truth is, it's not up to everyone. It's up to you. Treat all firearms as if loaded. Always point the muzzle in a safe direction. Be certain of your target and what's beyond, and keep your finger outside the trigger guard until it's safe to shoot. Hunting safety is up to you. Don't just be aware of these safety measures, follow them. Safe hunting is no accident. Learn more from the Wisconsin DNR at dnr.wi.gov.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
I thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Jeff Kelm. This segment is brought to you by Right On Optics. See the difference on the web at rightonoptics.com. Joining us from Right On Optics is Jeremiah Alexander. And Jeremiah, what do they call you over at Right On?
Well, I don't know if I can say that on air, but my title is Business Development Manager.
Okay.
I wear lots of hats. I do the technical information and calls. I help do design work, research and development. It's kind of a broad title that encompasses softly all the many things that I am privileged to do for this awesome company.
Well, I know Dan has been talking a lot about Right On and how he's got a scope from you guys. He's excited about using that. And then we gave away a 3x9x40 Model 5 just recently. And, I mean, I guess that's probably about the range type scope that I've heard, you know, used most popular in Wisconsin. Would you say that's that probably is what most guys should be using in Wisconsin, or is there a better option?
You know, I think that's probably as good an option as any, just based on the range. You know, you have to look how far you're going to shoot, the kind of light conditions you're going to shoot in. And then, you know, from there, it's just a bunch of preferences, right? I have a whole lot of things I don't need. I just like them. So
right.
We offer a number of different products that could definitely be used. But, man, the 3-9 is just a tried and true optic. It gets the job done. It's easy to work. Yeah, I think that's a fantastic Wisconsin hunting optic.
I know it's something that that I've gone back and forth. I generally am sitting in a place where a 200-yard shot is not unheard of. There's places I can hunt where a 400-yard shot is not unheard of. And then I hunt my own backyard where I can't even see longer than 35 yards. So it really kind of runs the gamut of where I'm going to be. And I think I've always had a pretty good experience with a scope in that range.
Yeah, well, what the... The lower initial power allows you, because, you know, any of you that have hunted, you know, long enough have had it where you keep your scope all the way cranked up, and then something inevitably runs out, you know, 20 yards in front of you.
Yes.
And all you can see is a ball of fur. You have no idea what you're looking at, right?
Yeah.
So the three to nines, the 4-16s, 4-20s allow you to be low enough to engage at the close range, but then also still have some magnification, you know, to make sure that you're shooting what you want to shoot, to make sure that you're safe, things like that. Yeah, so I think those 3-2 and 4-2 power scopes are really great for that part of the country.
I know I'm going to be looking for kind of a new package to outfit myself here in the next few years. I've got this grand idea. I want to get a new deer rifle. I'm using a hand down, which I'm really proud to use. But, you know, you'd said you'd mentioned before you've got a lot of things maybe you don't need. It's kind of one of those things. I don't really need it, but I kind of want it. And So what should I be looking for in a new scope these days? What kind of creature features are out there for me?
Well, you know, some of the things that get tossed around a lot are preferences. Like, do you like a first focal plane or a second focal plane scope? Do you want capped turrets or exposed turrets?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things like that are just preferences. Most of the scopes on the market, you know, have the features that are necessary to get the job done. Some of the fun things out there are, you know, the different reticle types. Some people want a really busy reticle, or maybe one they can use to measure how far away an animal is, because
mm-hmm.
you can do that. You can range with your reticle, and that's kind of nice to be able to do. So maybe a little fancier reticle, maybe different turret types, things like that. The hunting world, you know, and I come from a little bit more old school, so, you know, I'll probably get beat up online about it, but, you know, I like cap turrets. That way they don't get bumped, right? When you're
yep.
walking, you're climbing, you're doing things, you don't want those turrets to get bumped.
Yep.
But I have found myself liking a little busier reticle, like and a good mix, I believe, is the Mod 5 4-16x50. It's a wide field of view scope. That's a feature too. It's a wide field of view, so you get about a 20% wider field of view, which is just nice for obvious reasons to be able to see more of the field. And
mm-hmm.
this has 2-minute of angle hash marks in it, so So it's a real thin reticle still, but it's got some reference points. So if the wind's blowing hard or if the animal's at distance, I don't have to dial anything. I don't have to guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in the day, you're just like, you don't aim over them, right? You aim at the top of their back.
Right.
It was kind of the old saying, right? That's what Grandpa
right.
told you. Don't aim over it. Just aim at the top of its back.
That's right.
Not sure.
Yep, that's right.
I don't like to take a shot where I'm not sure. And so, yeah. You know, if you do a little shooting ahead of time and have the information and you have, like, say, 10-minute of angle, of reference points on your reticle, I think that's a nice feature to have too. You know, because you want to feel confident when you go out there that you have everything you need to get the job done.
Yeah. You know, one of the biggest things I think I noticed as I got older, yeah, the first scope and rifle package I had when I first started hunting, it was whatever my dad had picked up for me, and I went off and did it, and that was fine. But as I got older, I wear glasses. I'm always wearing a ball cap style hat. I started realizing that eye relief was something I really wanted in a feature. I really wanted that to be prominent because when I put my head down onto the scope, if I'm wearing the ball cap and the ball cap's in a little different, well, even if I've got that practiced motion, I may hit that kind of throws me off. I wear my glasses. I don't want to get too close, you know, that type of situation. I would assume eye relief across the board is probably better than it used to be 30 years ago on all the scopes.
Oh, yeah, by a long shot. We average on just about all of our scopes, and the 3-9 and the 4-16 are no exception. We're about 4 inches of eye relief, which is, you know, one, it's enough that you don't get bit in the face by your scope, which, again, you shoot and hunt long enough, and you get too close to that scope.
Yeah. It didn't take me long, I can tell you that. It didn't take me long.
No, you get that crescent moon scar between your eyes
a
bunch of us have, and... So yeah, the 4 inches is as I would say, it's an industry leading amount of eye relief. It also makes it just easy to get a quick sight picture. You know, you're not moving back and forth trying to figure out where you're at. So yeah, eye relief is definitely. And then the coatings now, and you know, coatings are a big deal. People overlook the coatings on the glass. And we have amazing HD glass, which doesn't mean high definition. It means high density. So it just means when they're making that glass, it's kind of squeezed together closer. So there's less points of refraction. So it's just clearer. It's the high density is definitely what you want to look for in your glass. But then the coatings, we use low light enhancement coatings. So you'll look through our scopes in the low lights, and that's when you shoot something, right? It's dusk and dawn. That's
right.
When the big boys come out, right?
Yep.
Right when it's like almost too dark to hunt.
Right.
That's when everything knows it's the right time to come out.
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely want a scope that does good in those low light conditions.
Yeah.
And right on has you covered in that area. It's actually brighter looking through the scope than with your naked eye in those low light situations.
What about crossbow scopes? That's something I've had to go to. I've got a shoulder that needs some tender love and care, and so I'm into a crossbow. Crossbow came with whatever scope was part of the package, but not totally thrilled with it. In the market for a crossbow scope, what do you guys have?
You know, my understanding with the crossbow scopes is that the way that the recoil on the crossbows is a little bit different. And so they do have crossbow specific scopes. Now, we've tested our scopes and not had any problems. We don't have anything designed specifically for a crossbow, but I will tell you what, I've had a number of friends and just, you know, acquaintances do is take our micro red dot. Because
gotcha,
it has a flush mount and it has an unlimited eye relief, which
sure.
is another thing with a crossbow. Eye relief can be an issue, just depending on where the scope's mounted. So that red dot has been incredible for people that want some sort of reference point on their crossbow. So I would highly suggest that red dot. It's been madly successful in the crossbow world.
Any other write-on products that you want to make sure people are aware of before we let you go, Jeremiah?
You know, our binoculars have just about always been my favorite product. I mean, and I'm a long-range instructor, and I love to shoot, and people always give me crap because we have some fancy, awesome scopes, but the binoculars are just absolutely incredible. The clarity that you get with those guys, You know, a lot of, if you've ever been looking through glass long enough, you get a headache at the end of the day from your eyes straining. But you get good glass, like the glass in those right on binoculars, and you don't get that. You don't have the eye strain. You don't get the headache. So highly recommend the binoculars. And then I think, yeah, that 4 to 16, the 3 to 9 are ideal for hunting in that neck of the woods. Just get on the website there at rightonoptics.com and see the whole, you know, wide array of products there. I think there's something for everyone there.
Jeremiah, I appreciate you taking the time to join us, and I look forward to talking with you guys again.
Yeah, same here. Thanks for having us on.
You can find them on the web at rightonoptics.com. Joining us from Right On Optics, Jeremiah Alexander. This portion of today's show is brought to you by Right On Optics. See the difference. We'll be back with more Outdoors Radio right after this.
Founded by law enforcement and military veterans, Right On Optics of Tucson, Arizona offers top quality scopes, binoculars, and rud dots at the industry's best prices. Tested by their Tier 1 military, Right On's high density glass and other components are covered by the best warranty in the business. At Right On, we welcome feedback from customers to better our product line. Find a dealer or buy Right On Hunting, Target, and Tactical Optics gear and accessories online at rightonoptics.com. Right On. See the difference.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com. Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit PappasTradingPost.com.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. HuntworthGear.com. That's HuntworthGear.com.
Castle Rock and Pete and Well are two of Wisconsin's largest inland lakes. With more than 60 square miles of water, they offer four seasons of outdoor fun. Halfway between the Twin Cities and Chicago, and just minutes from Wisconsin Rapids and the Dells, you'll enjoy family-friendly resorts and campgrounds, great fishing, bike trails, county, state, and national parks, and the Nisida National Wildlife Refuge. Learn more at castlerock-petenwell.com or on Facebook at Castle Rock Pete and Well Lakes Association.
Dogs of all ages love American Natural Premium. Years of success and experience have proven that proper nutrition makes dogs happy and healthy. American Natural Premium's carefully chosen ingredients provide energy, endurance, and performance along with healthy skin and coat. Just remember this, the name says it all, American Natural Premium. Find a dealer near you at AmericanNaturalPremium.com. That's AmericanNaturalPremium.com.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Outdoors Radio is also brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at cedarlakesales.com, by Lincoln Contractor Supply and Fabic Rents, the Cat Rental Store, working together to offer you more. By American Natural Premium Pet Foods, premium nutrition without the premium price, AmericanNaturalPremium.com. By Huntworth Gear, high-tech camo wear at a price you can afford. And by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, reminding you to mentor a new hunter this season. Think safety first whenever you're hunting. Hunt Safe Wisconsin. We're looking at dnr.wi.gov. Check out the keyword hunt. Our television show, Outdoor Wisconsin, airs on Milwaukee PBS, 9 o'clock Thursdays, 9 a.m. Saturdays.
for stations in your area, you can check it out online as well. Catch our radio show at LakeLink. Go to their radio page, and you can find this show and past shows. Find Dan on social media at Dan Small Outdoors. You can find me at Hardwater Jeff. Our theme music is by Warren Nelson. Hear more of Warren at warrennelson.com. For Dan Small, I'm Jeff Kelm. See us again, hear us again, next week on Outdoors Radio.